Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 95 of the Mind Body Musings podcast. Yeah. So today we're talking with Sarah Vance. Sarah is a body image and emotional eating coach who helps others find peace and freedom around their body, food, and self-care. She helps women reconnect with their inner radiant self and start living the life they truly deserve. As a former bikini competitor and fitness model, she is familiar with extremes and encourages others to find their gray. I love that. That's beautiful. She believes in the power of our intuition, mindset, and standing in the power of who we truly are. Grab her free guide on 5 mind shifts to make to embrace your body and experience food freedom on the show notes for this episode. So you can go to episode 95 on my website to access her free guide. I'm really excited to share this episode because of the fact that me and Sarah have very similar backgrounds. We have been through a lot of the same things, her being a former bikini competitor and fitness model. I think we have a lot that we can jam out on. So I'm really excited to share this episode with you, and I think you all really enjoy getting the perspective that she has to share. Before we head on over, here is the review of the week, and this comes from Rachel Wisniewski. She says, Maddie Moon delivers with 5 stars. I referred many people to Maddie's podcast. Her likable personality and her balanced interviewing style makes for an enjoyable product. Her message of health at any size and the awareness she has brought to the seriousness of eating disorders is commendable. I feel like I am cheering on a friend as Maddie gains popularity and success. Keep on rocking, Maddie. Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's so sweet. I need all of the cheering on as I can because this is a heavy topic, and I'm really hoping I can get this message out to as many people as possible. Like I say every week, these reviews are gold. So if you have not written a review on iTunes yet, it's so simple. Just go to iTunes, go to podcast, search for mine, and then click write a review, and then write a review, and then you will get on the podcast because I share them all. Thank you again, Rachel, for sharing those kind words. So before we head on over, I want to let everyone know that Scripture Food and Healing is still up. The doors are still open. They don't close until April 24th at 7 p.m. MST. If you do have any questions about this incredible transformative course, please let me know. If you are at all interested in using scripture as a very powerful tool for healing disordered eating, coming to terms with the body you have, the body you can, yes, you can love, this course may be the perfect thing for you. It is 6 weeks, and like Audra was talking about in last week's episode, it's not quite like a devotional. It's more fit and it's more applicable to you and where you are currently with your food journey. I tie all of these scriptures in with disordered eating, and I think that's something that's been lacking in this world is a course that combines disordered eating with scripture, with faith. So I would love to have you in this course. There are Bible study calls with some of the most well-known, popular disordered eating coaches from around the world. There are 6 of those. You have accountability partners. There are devotionals sent to you every single day for the entire 6 weeks. Tons of different intensive assignments that you do, and I guide you through great activities, self-care rituals, so many different amazing things that you can take part of. And I don't know when I will be running this course next, so I would love to have you in it, and I would love to see you there. So without further ado, let's hear what Sarah has to say on the topic of fitness competitions, fitness modeling, and recovering from it all.
Welcome to the Mind Body Musings podcast, the show for everyone and anyone that is ready to break free from the dogmatic chains of the health and fitness industry and create their own life free from restrictions. Now, introducing your host, Madeline Moon, a former fitness model gone sane, and the author of the popular self-love book, The Perfection Myth. If you dig the show and you're looking for more insight on how to stop food and exercise from controlling your life, check out her website, MaddieMoon.com, and grab your free guide. If you're ready to end dieting once and for all, it's time you learn how to pursue real health instead. Enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the show. I'm here with Miss Sarah Vance, and I am pretty pumped about this interview. Sarah comes from a very similar background as me, and she's just someone that is a powerhouse in this body love industry, especially in regards to fitness and coming from a fitness modeling background, fitness competitions. She's been there, she's done that. So I have really high expectations for this conversation. I feel like we're going to have so many great things to talk about. So welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you. What is up, everyone?
Yay. This is so exciting.
I know. Like, it's going to be awesome.
I feel like we've known each other. So we probably started talking to each other at least like a year and a half ago, if not more than that.
Yes.
Yeah. And I remember like we emailed a little bit just talking about like getting started with businesses. And then we both went through B school at the same time, which was really interesting. How did you feel about that?
You know, it was in the beginning. Well, actually, I guess B school kind of came in like a big moment for my life. Like I was just, coming from my fitness background of being a personal trainer, being very much involved with that, and basically being the opposite of what I do now. Mm-hmm. So I kind of was stuck in like just looking upward and being like, okay, what is it that I want to do? Like, I need some guidance. I need some help. And I got an email from Summer, actually, that was talking about B school. And I was like, okay, this is it. So I'm just going to take the plunge. And so I did it. And, you know, it was really great. It helped me like figure out where I wanted to go. It was just a really good guideline to just like figure out my audience and things like that. Because it can be really confusing going from one aspect to a completely different voice and learning how to step in that and maneuver around like the struggles of just having a business.
Right. So. Yeah, I feel really similarly. And it's interesting because like when I look back, whenever you first reached out to me, I remember your website and I remember like the photos you used. And I'm right there with you. I did the exact same thing, which has been cool to kind of watch you do it. Because I remember like still getting kind of this fitness personal trainer vibe from your site. And like,
yes.
I do fitness. And I remember being in the same exact spot because it was only a few years ago for me. And remembering how that transition is one of the hardest things because you're letting go of this person you think the world holds you to be. I'm this fitness chick. If I really change my website and my message, what's going to happen? But your heart is so strong in this certain direction that you have to let it go and you have to start fresh and go after what your heart is really truly asking. So bravo for doing that.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it really just becomes like ingrained into your identity that is what you're known for. So, you know, when you invest in all of that, like time, energy, emotions, sometimes money, just a lot, it's really hard to break away from that. And that can be an identity, not only as a business, but as yourself, like known as the fit chick or known as, you know, whatever it may be, fill in the blank. If you identify as that, it's going to be really challenging and bring up a lot of emotions trying to break away from that because you've invested so much in it. But I mean, it was a huge thing. And I mean, I just redesigned my website. So I went through my rebranding in reference of like what I was speaking about. But the website was kind of just actually didn't change until a few months ago. And one of the biggest things for me that was so incredibly important for me, my old URL was Sarah Vance Fit. And that fit was just like hanging over my head so much. Like I wanted to get rid of it so bad because it just did not identify with who I was and what I was talking about. It was like the final like release of like letting it go and just being like, okay, I'm detaching from this and this is not who I am. This is not about my life. And I like chased down this woman named Sarah Vance from like California trying to get this URL. It was a big to do, but I finally got it. And it was just like such a big relief. And it felt so proud to finally drop that and just be me, like Sarah Vance, no longer attached to that. And so that was just, it was such a good moment for me to have that. So
And it's crazy, again, how similar, like, both of us, what we went through the same thing, because I was Moon Fitness. And I was Moon Fitness for, like, 3 or 4 years. My Twitter, my Instagram, my URL, Moon Fitness. And what I think about for you especially, because you are such a, you know, I'm going to use the word here, fit person. Because you are, now you are fit. Like, in my view, you're living life, you're happy, you're moving your body, you're indulging in all the beautiful aspects of life, but like you're physically fit as well. So now you actually are the true definition of fit, but it's like that word still, like the rest of the world does not quite understand. So when they see the word fit, they're going to think other things, they're going to expect all these things out of you. And it's just ironic to me, right? It's just so ironic that when you're actually truly your fittest self, that word just doesn't apply. It doesn't apply anymore.
Absolutely. And I think that just comes down to the perception that in our cultural, you know, ideal of what fit is, or even the definition of healthy in reality. I mean, when you really look at it, you know, health, we think of this very physical, and fit, this very physical component, not only by a visual component, physical component of it, the visual aspect, but also like biomarkers of like blood pressure. And it's way bigger than that. Like, you know, and I was in it, so I didn't believe it. Like I forgot about all those other things. And I'm sure you did too, about like emotional, you know, mental, psychological, social, all that other stuff that is involved with having a really amazing, healthy, beautiful life that like gets put on the back burner just because you become so focused on one thing. So, I mean, that was really, I don't know. It was just, that's exactly what you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I do identify as fit, but it is definitely not the definition of what most people would see.
Before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's rewind and go to your background, your story, and how you even got to where you are today.
Okay, so my story is pretty much parallel with you. Mm-hmm. I actually, many, many years ago, I decided, you know, I wanted, well, first of all, I went to school for being a nurse. So, you know, one of the things that was important for me was to be active in my health, because I do know that, you know, we do have, depending on how we choose to live our life, you know, can reflect on our health, but not always. Like, that's majorly out of our control. I didn't learn that until later on down the road. But, you know, I walk in as a new nurse and I'm totally terrified, and as an ICU nurse at that. So I'm seeing these horrible, you know, instances of people with really bad illnesses. So I decided I wanted to get healthy. So I went to the gym and did the typical thing. And then I started getting into strength training, and I really never thought about my body. I just liked lifting weights, and I didn't really become really conscious about it until a few years later, through some forums and just social media and, you know, blogging on how to get stronger, I saw a bikini competitor, and I was like, oh, okay, kind of, let me question about this. Like, it was kind of whatever. My, parents both were bodybuilders. So So, I don't blame them, but I'm sure it has 100% to, you know, some aspects to do with my story. So I actually went to the Arnold Classic, which is a really big fitness expo that, you know, comes every year to Columbus, Ohio. And I was there supporting one of my friends that was competing in powerlifting. Well, I went ahead and ventured into the expo, which is like, think of Fitspo on freaking steroids, literally and figuratively. Like Fitspo at his highest, like, almighty self. So I saw this bikini competitor sitting there. And at that time in my life, I was going through a lot, like just not fulfilled in a variety of ways in my life. And I saw this bikini competitor, and I was like, I'm going to do that. So I questioned it, you know, tried to diet on my own, and then realized I couldn't do it on my own. Went through some other stuff, a breakup. Let's see, my parents moved. I hated my job. Just, I was kind of lost in life. And so I thought, well, this is the time that I definitely need to change my body. I can't fix any of this. So let me, you know, go ahead and fix myself. So I hired a coach and, you know, went ahead and went on that route. And my first competition, you know, like I wasn't really overly obsessed or anything like that. It actually was a relatively joyous moment, my first competition. But as you get into it, at least for me, you will never have enough. You will always be looking and searching and searching and searching for that next level of leadness. And that is what happened. It just like I was getting my trophies, but that just wasn't enough. And that has to do a lot with all the other issues going on in my life, but also just the whole obsessiveness of what has happened, you know, through bikini competitions. So I ended up going to nationals, competed and dieted straight for about 2 years, did a lot of fitness modeling, competed like back-to-back shows. Like it was insane. I honestly don't know how I freaking did it while working as an ICU nurse on top of that. And basically had no other life outside of those two things. So after my national show, I was on the beach having, you know, my photographer do these beautiful photos of me. And I was just like, is this it? Like, I don't have a period. I can't even like go out to dinner with my significant other without having a pure panic attack. My hair is falling out. I just knew in the back of my head, like something isn't right. But during that time, you know, when you're so consumed in that, you just become consumed. So I was going to be a personal trainer. So here I am training these women. And it was so weird for me. It was such a surreal experience because all these women would come into my consultations and it was like me looking in a mirror from a very outside perspective because I was hearing verbally like what I was saying to myself in my head. I was now hearing it from other women. And I just couldn't get past that. It was really like profound for me because I was like, this, we're all struggling here. So many of us are struggling with the same issues. So that was a really big game changer for me. And then I did another, you know, photo shoot and I had dieted and was doing 2-a-days, just really extreme. And I remember walking into this photo shoot all confident, like, yeah, I look great. And the photographer says, don't worry about it. Like, we'll Photoshop your stomach. And I wasn't even thinking about it. And that's when I was just like, I got to change. Like, this is not okay. I'm selling something that other people are looking at, which is a big lie. I've been lied to. And that's when I really started getting into the body image, body positivity community. And that's when I was like, okay, I really have to change my relationship with myself, food, and how I choose to move my body. So now I help others break away from the diet mentality, find peace within their body and around food. Mm. It's a long story. It's so long.
But it's such a perfect story. I love it. I'm glad you mentioned everything. All parts are needed. Do you ever have moments where you look back and you think about these crazy things that you did for the sake of, you know, quote, health and fitness? Like for me personally, there was a time where I was doing 2-a-days when I had pneumonia because I was like so freaking terrified that if I missed a day, I would not place number one. I wouldn't be the best. Do you have moments like that that you can think about and you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that?
Oh, 100%. I mean, even down to like my very first competition, you know, it was like my mind was okay, but it still wasn't just right. Because I actually had a third degree sprain in my ankle, right before I decided that I was going to go into my, you know, long extended diet. And so for the first, 9 weeks, I was training on a sprained ankle, which is just crazy. Like I couldn't even say like, okay, wait, you know what I mean? Like I was just so adamant about like, I needed that sense of control. There's so many facets that go into the issues that I had with chasing perfection, the need for, you know, false sense of control, this feelings of unworthiness, all the issues going on in my life. But one of those things was this false sense of control. And I just needed that at that time because there was so much going on in my life that I just felt, you know, like that was just my way of coping. Unfortunately, not a healthy way, but I couldn't even like put that aside and say, okay, maybe I should wait until my leg is healed. And yeah, just a lot of stuff. Like I remember, you know, as an ICU nurse, you know, my brain has to function pretty top notch all the time. Like I'm dealing with people's lives, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting next to my coworker and getting report and I just couldn't even pay attention. Like I was not there because I was so incredibly depleted. Like I was not getting enough food and my brain was not able to function. And I mean, I just look on back on that and I'm like, what the heck was I doing? Like that is so not okay. You know what I mean? But I just, you get so trapped that you don't even, it's like, you don't even care. You don't even see it. Like it just becomes your norm. Like this is acceptable. You know what I mean? Like it's just, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I can just look back and be like, oh gosh, what was I doing?
Mm-hmm. That inner critic voice like becomes your voice and you start to think that's your main voice, like that is you and you think it's normal, but it's not. And sometimes it takes a break it takes a break away from that to be able to actually see, oh my gosh, like that probably isn't right that I'm being so cruel and mean to myself and putting my body through these crazy things. Do you think it's kind of common for nurses to go through this? And I know this is a totally random question, but I've worked with quite a few people that have had food struggles that are nurses. And I don't know if it's just like coincidence or if maybe there's some kind of diet camaraderie that exists within nurses. But did you notice anything like that?
So when I first started, I didn't really notice it. Like, I was the only one that was really like dieting and really all into this. And of course, that inspired other people to get into it. I was their, you know, I became their inspiration, which is just, just so sad now looking back on all of it, because it wasn't inspiration at all. It was sadness. But I definitely, you know, nursing is predominantly female driven. There's definitely men without a doubt, but usually it's a bunch of females. I would say about 90-80% of the people I work with are all females. And I think with females in general, diet camaraderie is really common. And you kind of feed off of that, you know, as women. It just is like kind of what we do. It's part of, you know, how we connect with one another and how we share and how we bond, unfortunately, is talking about, you know, oh, I was bad because I did this, or I was good, or whatever. Oh my gosh, you know, I've gained so much weight, whatever it may be. And I think maybe is that there's this idea that they do probably want to be healthy. It's just we have a really twisted idea of what health is. So maybe that's why it's more common, or why you're seeing more nurses kind of struggle with it, because maybe they are a little bit more conscious with their health, but they just have been misguided to away from this holistic approach, if you will, of health, which encompasses mind, body, spirit, the whole self versus just the physical component.
Mm-hmm. And I've also noticed other patterns, whereas like people go into work and they're busy for 9-hour shifts. And so it kind of forces them to ignore their intuition. Like they can't just sit down and be like, where do I want to go to eat today? What do I want to eat? And like, am I hungry? Okay, let's go to this place. And then they go and then they eat, and then they're like, okay, my hunger and fullness cues, where am I on a scale from 1 to 10? Like, you know, like you don't have that luxury. Whereas I like work from home and I'm like, okay, it's 1:30 or it's noon, I'm kind of feeling hungry, go in the kitchen, like have that whole process. I can do that, but they don't always have that luxury. So I can definitely see how there would be difficulty doing the whole intuitive eating process when a lot of the time when you're working, you don't have that option. You just have to eat whatever you packed and you're busy, go, 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 go. And it's not always this most mindful, peaceful process. Yeah. So that can be frustrating for sure.
Absolutely. And I mean, I still work, you know, part-time as a nurse. So it's really interesting coming from, you know, where I am now, practicing a more mindful approach to my eating habits, a very more relaxed approach without rules and restrictions and allowing guidance from my body. But there's also real life, you know what I mean? Like there's a whole other area of people that do work, and there's nurses, and like hairstylists have the same thing where they work these extended hours and they're go, go, go and crazy. And you're right, they're not going to have the chance, and I don't have the chance to sit and be really in tune with my body. Sometimes it's, you know, late in the day and I feel like my hunger is at like a 10, and it's like, well, it went from 0 to 10, but that's because I was so busy trying to, you know, service my patient.
And that can cause those binges. Like I've seen that too within my clients, where they're so busy and they don't really get to eat, and then they're starving. So then after a very long shift, they just start eating everything and then they feel guilty for it. And it's like, man, it's difficult. It's difficult to make this work for a lot of people who want to be able to fix their eating issues, but also have to work these long shifts and can't really figure out their food issues when they need to. So I've noticed that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely can lead to that. And I think it's just a matter of really just being compassionate with yourself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And realize like you're human and you're trying to do the best that you can with any given situation. And as long as that's what you're trying to do, then like you're fine. You know what I mean? Like practice that compassion. I mean, compassion is such a huge, huge component, at least for me and my journey, just having compassion be at the forefront of so much stuff.
Yep, exactly. So important. So when it came time to start eating the food again, when you were like, okay, let's do this, let's get off this fit chick caboose, I'm ready to have food freedom. First of all, what did that feel like in your gut? Like, how scared were you? Because I know I was pretty scared.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was so scared and uncomfortable, without a doubt. I mean, and that it is scary because you're, you know, when you come from the background like we have, or really anybody that's been on a diet or followed a meal plan or whatever you choose to say, macros, whatever the heck, you really have not developed that trust within yourself. You've completely put your trust on outside sources, outside people, and that's really difficult because trust has to, like, you have to build that within yourself. So it was really, really challenging. It was scary as all hell. You know, just not only the fear of food, but when you really look at it, fear of what the food's going to do to my body is what the real issue was. Because I love food. I wanted to eat, but it was the side effect of what I thought food would do and what it could possibly do that was so fearful for me. So that's what I really had to work on, was that huge component of body, unconditional body acceptance, of being like, okay, you know what, I need to accept my body no matter what. And then just going out and trying my best to like focus on life versus like being in my own head all the time. So it was super scary. It was definitely challenging of like resistance, where I would like lean in and then I would like go back and be like, no, this is too much. And then I'd like lean in again. And then eventually like I leaned in enough times that I finally was like, okay, let me just release these shackles completely and just let go and be free.
Do you have a memory of any particular meal that you faced where it was just like one of those moments, a turning point moment where you ate something and it wasn't like the end of your world?
I don't, you know, and it's funny though, because like those moments still kind of, they don't pop up, but they're just like, oh, that's weird. You know what I mean? Like I went to the movies, one that just recently happened is I went to the movies probably a few months ago, and I didn't really notice over the fact that like I hadn't had popcorn, like movie theater popcorn, for like years because of my dieting. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I wasn't really thinking about it. I was like, oh, okay, let me just get some popcorn because, you know, we're at the movies. And I sat down and I was eating it. I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot the whole experience of a movie, of like having popcorn and like, you know, being with your significant other or your friends or whatever, and your 3D glasses, and just really getting into the whole experience. And I was like, I have those moments where it's just like, wow, you know, like I've come so far, because that would have never happened before. Or just the spontaneity of going out with, you know, friends, you know, in the blue and being like, okay, let's go have lunch, you know, whatever it may be. But there wasn't one particular moment. I think maybe like being able to have a cheeseburger and fries was without like feeling the need to do something about it later. That was pretty strong for me. That was probably one of the ones that I was like, okay, I'm okay.
Yeah. I still have those moments. Like I still have moments where there are certain foods that I have not eaten since before my ED. Like I really haven't. Like maybe I've had a bite of it, but I haven't had like a full plate of certain things. And it's not necessarily because I'm terrified of them still. It's because I'm not really craving them at all. And I think it's kind of a combination where it's still like, oh, what's it gonna do to me? And then it's like, ah, well, I'd rather have blah 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 instead than figuring it out. You know, like I still have to work through those things, and it's definitely a process. And I hope that brings some kind of piece to people listening to this. It's not like we have every single thing figured out and we're completely there and we're completely healed. Like,
oh,
for
gosh,
me.
No.
Yeah, I don't know about no. You and where you are, but like,
no.
Especially yeah. Recently I was traveling. So I was in Thailand, yeah. And like it was
beautiful, by the way.
Oh,
beautiful.
Gosh. I just keep thinking about it. I'm like so missing it. But that's besides the point. Anyways, I was eating a lot of different foods, and I've mentioned this on my blog, and I think I talked about it a bit in my last podcast, but I always thought Thailand would be the healthiest place ever for some reason. I think it's because of Instagram, because like all these people on Instagram are like, look at my fresh fruit, and like, look at all this I'm eating. And it's always like the super healthy, like, you know, Instagram. And when I got there, yes, there was a lot of fresh fruit and it was delicious. Also, if you're gonna actually eat a meal, like you're gonna order a meal, not just like buy fruit, buy it from a stand, normally it's fried rice, fried noodle, pad thai, curry dishes. I love curry, by the way. So that wasn't like a huge deal for me. But where I was staying at this thing called a homestay, and we would go on a lot of excursions. So we'd have to have packed lunches. So we didn't have an option. So they would pack pad thai for us. They would pack fried rice for us. They pack like the easy portable things. And for the first week of it, I was like, yeah, this is cool. I love trying new foods. But then I reached a limit where it was 2 weeks long and 10 days total at that homestay. So I remember getting to this point, waking up one morning and I'm like, gosh, I would kill to have just some oatmeal. Like something basic, standard, yeah. Like a tried and true food that I just know is always there for me. But I couldn't necessarily do that. I had to keep eating what they were giving me. And it was a huge test for me being like, if I want to travel more, which I do, can I do this? Can I get out of my comfort zone and surrender and rest? And it was there were definitely moments where I was feeling on edge, maybe a little bit snippy, but I had to work through it. And I was like, okay, it's okay. This is not going to kill me. If anything, this is going to, in a way, save me. It's going to help me. Like, it's going to be good for me. I've got to eat and I can get through this. And I just had to relax and know when I get back home, I can eat my food, my special little food if I want. But enjoy it while I have it, because it's not every day you get to eat authentic pad thai, right?
Like, yeah.
And you're fortunate. You're lucky that you're here having pad thai for the third time this week. Like, you're lucky. Like, enjoy it and have fun with it and walk your talk. So I had to rest in that, but I did have moments where I was, but you mm-hmm. know, it was good. It was good for me.
Yeah. I mean, anybody that promotes body positivity or body, you know, having a good relationship with your body and food, if they say that they're 100% like all fine and dandy, I'm sorry, but I just have mm-hmm. a hard time believing that, because your inner critic is never completely goes away. It's never just completely like, oh, poof, gone, you know, whatever. It's just that you learn how to maneuver like with it and navigate and learn how to not give in to compulsions and relax around it and let go and practice that compassion and self-love that it really needs. So yeah, I mean, there's still times with other stuff that like, you know, I still struggle with. One of my biggest struggles, because I am so still into fitness, is, you know, learning still to release those shackles. And it's taken me a long time to be able to come to a place of like, okay, be able to set athletic goals for myself and not become obsessed or chase perfection or all or nothing.
Let's talk about that. Go into that. Tell me how you do that, because I don't even know. How do you do that?
Yeah, so I'm a powerlifter. I compete in powerlifting about once a year. I've competed twice now. I usually do it in the fall. And, you know, like I said in the very beginning with my intro, is like I got into movement. The very first thing that I fell in love with was strength training. So when I was breaking away from all this, it's all intertwined, body, food, and fitness. It's all truly intertwined for me. And I think a lot of people it is. But I had to take a step back and say, okay, let's get out of the gym and figure out what is it that I really, really enjoy. And one of the questions that always stands with me is, if this wasn't going to change my body, would I still do it? Because if that's the case, then I know I'm truly enjoying it. And I know that I'm going to be able to do it in a way, hopefully, that is going to be sustainable and something that's going to add more to my life versus take away from it. So like I said, it's taken me 2 years to finally get to the point of just being okay. And it was trial and error and just like practicing that compassion and really like backing down. Like anytime that I started to feel like all or nothing or like, you know, black and white or chasing perfection, I just stopped. I would say, okay, let me relax a little bit. Let me take a step back. Let me reevaluate. Let me do more internal work. Let me figure out what's going on. What's really behind those feelings. Let me heal that first. And then let me try again. So it's taken a lot, but I think one of the biggest things is like really getting away from comparison, knowing your intention behind why you're doing it. That was really important for me. Like, I'm not doing that for anybody else. I'm not competing for anybody else. I don't really care if I get a trophy even. I'm doing it because it's enjoyable to me. And I do think that it's fun to have goals. I enjoy working at that. I enjoy celebrating what my body can physically do. and seeing, you know, the weight. And not only that, but my relationship with powerlifting did help my journey. It wasn't the end all be all to it, but it absolutely helped my journey, because it was from moving from a place of this is what my body looks like to this is what my body can do. And on top of that, moving from a place of eat less, eat less, eat less to, okay, well, you're going to have 300 pounds on your back. So you know what? You need some food. and learning to rest, because, you know, in bikini competitions, when I was in prep, it was go, go, go all the time. Like burn more, do more, do more. And with powerlifting, you can't do that or else you'll get injured. So you have to relax. You have to listen to your body. You have to honor those signals that your body is telling you to chill the crap out. Maybe you just need to sit on the couch and watch some TV or read a book or go on a walk or do nothing. And learning, really encompassing self-care as like a more of a whole thing versus just physical. So it's taken a lot of time, a lot of practice, but just like being patient and gentle was really important for me.
Was there a time where you had to just stop doing everything and just relax for a while, or did you kind of just glide right into powerlifting?
I took a significant step back. I actually didn't go to the gym for probably about 4 weeks. Wasn't that long, but it was long enough for me to just like take a step back and figure out what the heck I wanted to do. Because in general, I enjoy moving my body. I like the way that it makes me feel. I really do. But I just had to let go of some of those shackles that, you know, those limiting false beliefs that I kept telling myself, that narrative, you know, like I had to go back and like detach from it being purely about aesthetics and dependent on how much I ate, and really focusing on how does this make me feel and how is this going to add to my life? Is it adding to my life? Or is it taking away? That's really important too. Like if it's taking away, then it doesn't belong.
Yeah. If I could recommend everyone listening to this podcast episode to do one thing, if you feel like you have this voice in your head that's just not quite right, like it's probably not that encouraging, take a break from the gym. Like that, I took one that was 2 weeks off when I first started my disengaging from fitness modeling stuff. And it was like, so hard. It was so hard. I was just itching out of my skin. And then I finally got back to the gym. Actually, no, that first time was 1 week. It was 1 week off. And I was like, gotta get back. I went back. And then that voice, that cruel voice, was a little bit louder. I could hear it. I could actually hear it. Instead of it just blending in with my me voice, I could hear it. And I was like, wow, okay, more work needs to be done. So then I did the 4 weeks off. And just took walks and it was so helpful. It actually helped me to intuitive eat much better, because I finally practiced intuition in one area of my life and it was easier to practice it in another one. I think they're very linked. So when I went back to the gym after that 4 weeks, then the voice was really loud, because for a whole 4 weeks, I was nice to myself because I didn't go into that toxic environment for me. It's very toxic. So when I went back, I could hear like, oh, your triceps aren't big enough. Oh, look at that fat around your belly. Oh my gosh, like you need to be doing German volume training right now. Like all these voices. And I was just like looking at myself, either being mean to myself or in vain, like feeling vain. Like, look at that butt. Like, yeah. And like, I didn't like either of those sides. I didn't like the cocky side and I didn't like the self-sabotaging side. Neither one were really helpful. So I thought, okay, it's been 4 weeks. Maybe like this really isn't serving me in my life right now, which is when I started doing CrossFit, and then that transitioned into the complete opposite, pole dancing. And now I'm in a yoga thing and it's been really nice. I just kind of have come to terms with the fact that maybe I'll never absolutely love doing one thing. Maybe my whole life will now be spent gliding from one phase to another. But all I can say is right now I've been doing yoga for a while and I'm absolutely loving it, and it's jiving really, really, really well with me. So maybe this will be something I stick with for a while. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm surrendering. It's whatever happens.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a really good point, though. You know what I mean? Like, I, even though I compete in powerlifting, like, there's a whole, you know, 9 months of other stuff that I do. You know what I mean? Like, it isn't just focused on one specific thing. There's always like, I tried a lot of stuff. Took those 4 weeks off, I tried like so much stuff. Yoga, Zumba, biking, hiking, just walking, dancing in my house. Like, just so much stuff. That way, like, I have a bunch of stuff because, like, I don't want to be bored. Like, I don't want to just do one thing. That just gets really boring and mind-numbing to me, and that's just not what I'm about. So, and the other thing I think that is important is that, like, you don't have to be in the gym. Like, I think there's this idea that you have to be in the gym, and you don't. Like, you have to really, in my opinion, do what feels best for you. And only you really know that. And I think it takes looking within yourself and asking yourself those questions. Like, what is it that I need? What is it that's best for me? Not what everyone else is doing. Like, and you have to do what's, yeah.
Yeah, you do not need to prove yourself to anyone. Like, when I go into the, I go into the gym every once in a while, like probably once every 6 weeks, like a gym, not like a, like a, like just like a typical weightlifting gym. And every time I go in, someone tries to sell me on a membership. And it's funny because I'll say something like, oh, it's really hard for me to stick with a membership these days. And they think it's because I'm not, quote, disciplined, I don't have willpower, and I don't feel the need anymore to explain my story and be like, oh, no, it's not because I don't have discipline. I have so much of that. Yeah, no. It's because blah, 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 blah. And here's my story, blah, blah, blah. Like, now, when people think that, I really don't care. Like, it's interesting because once upon a time, even probably a year ago, maybe even 7 months ago, if I were to go into a gym and someone was selling me a membership, I'd have to puff up my chest and say, no, listen to my whole story, my background. Like, you'll understand more why I can't have a gym membership. And now I'm like, no, it's just not worth it. Like, I know myself, I'm confident in my story. And if they think it's because I don't have discipline, willpower, blah, 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 that's okay. What is that to me? Like, it doesn't serve me. So I don't feel like I need to prove myself to them, to the world. I just want to be happy, right? That's it.
Exactly. And that's what it is about for me too. I mean, you know, one of the biggest struggles is that feeling of needing to, like, prove myself to somebody. Like, just, you know, oh, well, let me prove my strength. And now I'm just like, I don't freaking care. Like, I don't. Like, I really don't. Like, I'm just here for me, and my body is going to do what it wants to do. And I'm not going to, like, do anything that's going to jeopardize it. I'm sorry. Like, you know, there's this idea that you have to push harder, push harder, push harder. And I'm so not for that. Like, I am such a gentle person with my body, even though powerlifting is considered more extreme. But for me, I'm going to do it in a gentle and loving way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to talk about the initial stages of you watching your body change, because I know so many people ask me about this and I've shared my thoughts on it, but I want to hear yours. Whenever you were going from being super lean, as they like to say in the industry, to... I don't know, just gaining some much needed weight, I'm sure, that weight that allowed you to have freedom and happiness. How did that process look for you? How'd you get through it?
Oh man, that process was messy. Mm-hmm. It was, because it was really difficult. You know, my identity was so attached to this very specific look, and letting go of that. And, you know, this idea that weight gain, that I've bought into and believed for a really long time, that weight gain was bad, and was like, oh, I'm going to look like a failure. I'm going to look like this or that, or what are people going to say? What about this? Like, all these, like, crazy things that happened in my head about what if, it was really challenging. I mean, it affected not only myself, but my relationship with my fiance as well, because it was really challenging for me. Cause you know, he was involved with the whole process. So it was super, super challenging. I went through a lot of clothes. I went through, you know, practicing a lot of compassion and just doing that internal work and getting behind, like, what's going on with me? Why am I feeling this way? How can I make myself, you know, feel better? Doing those self-care practices, and, you know, having a really great support system. But it was really challenging. But I think that when those challenges would pop up, I would have to, or those thoughts would pop up, I would challenge it and say, is this really my truth? Is this really, like, the narrative that I want to buy into and believe now? And obviously, like, seeing other bodies did so much for me, being in the body positive community and seeing different shape sizes, abilities, ages, all that stuff. I think just the visual component of that really helped. And obviously, detoxing away from FITSPO. That's the only detox that I'll advocate for. But, you know, getting rid of that constantly, like, in my face and just being okay. And then the other thing that I think was really, 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 really powerful for me was trying my damn best to get out of my own head and going out and living that life. Like, as uncomfortable as it would seem, like, the first time putting on a bathing suit in my changing body, or the first time I did this or that or the other, whatever it may be, just trying my best to go out and live. And then focusing on that, the experiences, the connections with, you know, the people that I had forgotten about almost because I was so obsessed with my food. And just being present in life and outside of my own head really helps a lot.
Right. Ironically, it helps me every now and then to think back to my fitness competition days, because I don't know if you had this experience, but when I was backstage getting ready, getting our tans, you know, all like seven of us girls naked together getting tanned. Did you do that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That was always a little bit weird. Like, all of us just spreading our legs, getting tanned, like right next to each other, seven girls getting tanned, seven girls tanning. Like, that was just an interesting experience. But yes. What I will say is this moment where I was expecting to see the most perfect of all bodies, all of us competing against each other, like head to head, who has the most perfect body, blah, blah, blah. But behind the stage, actually getting tanned, I remember seeing so many imperfections, like, And they're imperfections you do not see whenever everyone gets their pictures taken on that stage, whenever they have their tan done, they're in their suits, it's all photoshopped. Uh-huh. I remember being back there with the most perfect of perfect bodies, so I thought, so everyone says, and remember seeing inverted nipples, like really interesting beauty marks all over different places, like still seeing cellulite, still seeing, you know, areas sagging, and thinking, wow, like, this is real. Like, even whenever you think it's going to be all of the most perfect bodies, everyone still has imperfections, all of us, everyone. Mm-hmm. And that helps me every now and then today, just thinking, like, okay, whenever I was trying to get to that most perfect body, even then, perfections are not real. It's Photoshop and all of these pictures that we see of the after, like, editing pro magic that we think, that's real, that must be real, I have to have that. But no, that is not true. That is not real life. And that's one thing that helped me a lot. But of course, now I just think today, whenever I have moments of like, oh, I want to look like that, blah, 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 I'm like, I go back there mentally to that place I was at. My worst nightmare was to gain weight. I think for a lot of people, subconsciously, that's their worst nightmare, because they're programmed to think that way. And yep. Once you have achieved that worst nightmare, it's happened. You've gained the 15 pounds. You realize life is pretty rocking. I yes. finally have that 15 pounds gave me food freedom. It gave me,
oh my gosh, rest, so much
relaxation, love, like all these awesome things. Do I really want to trade all that just so I can get off 15 pounds and get nothing in return?
Yes, exactly. And I think that's one of those things that I say, remember your why, like, remember, like, where you came from and how that felt and how much you were missing out on your life. Like, what's more important to you? And knowing your values, like, I have really had to get really real with what I valued in my life. I'm like, really real. I valued the connection with my best friends and my family and my significant other and going and traveling and, like, experience different food and different cultures. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I valued. I valued life. Like, I didn't value, when it came down to it, at the end of the day, looking a specific way. And that's, you know, and that's okay if somebody else does, that's okay. But for me specifically, that is not what I valued. And that's what helped me to keep going, is just remembering my why, knowing my values, and having a really good support system. And you know what? It's funny, because just like I said, like, I had the same issue when I had that photo shoot, and he was like, oh, don't worry, we'll Photoshop this. And I'm like, oh my God, this is one big lie. Like, this is, wow. Okay. Like, right. what I've been seeing is not even real. And I cannot support that for other people. Like, this is far greater than myself now. This is, I do not want to be that inspiration to another female when in sell a lie. I can't do that.
How do you feel looking back at those photos of you in those days? What comes up for you when you look at those pictures?
Oh my gosh. So I don't know if you saw my video for Super Fit Hero or not, but there is actually a video clip of me right before Nationals of me posing in my living room. And you would just have to see it, but that specific video, I stumbled across it like maybe 2 weeks before the video launched, and man, it rocked my freaking world. I'll tell you what, bringing up a lot of different emotions for me. But the reason why, it wasn't like, oh, I want to go back there, or oh, I wish I look like that, or like this self, you know, hatred thing. It was like just an overwhelming sense of compassion. It really was. I was just like, oh, you were struggling so much. Like, I really just want to go and like give that woman who was me a big hug. She is part of my story. It is definitely me. I'm not writing that off. It is why I'm here and doing what I do today. But man, I needed some love and compassion. You could see the struggle in my eyes without a doubt. So anytime I see those photos, I feel it's very odd. Like, I feel very grateful for where I am today. I'm very happy and grateful to even go through that process, because I think that has added to my story. Even though that was a dark time in my life, it's added to where I am now. And it has allowed me to do and speak on what I'm speaking about and helping other people achieve what I have, you know, or achieve what they can with food freedom and body peace. But an overwhelming sense of compassion for that human being, just a lot. It was very emotional.
That's a beautiful reaction. Like, I think that's the goal for a lot of people, is to be able to look back at those photos and not feel jealous of that body you used to have, or envious or longing, but just to have compassion. I think that's so wonderful. So before we head on over to the quick fire round, can you let my audience know where they can connect with you?
Yeah, so you can find me on my website at sarahvance.com, and that has all the links to my social media from there, on Instagram as well as Facebook.
Wonderful. And I will have all those links on the show notes for this episode 95.
Yep.
Okay, quick fire round time. My favorite part. Well, one of my favorite parts. Yay. All right. Number one, two things you cannot live without.
Pretty sure my dog.
No. I'm sorry. I should have been clear. You cannot have your dog or family members. I know we love your dog, but.
Okay, so. Did you say no family members
no
either?
No family members, no dogs.
Okay. So, oh boy. Two things I cannot live without. Okay. The sun. So the sun.
What?
I love it.
Okay.
What? Okay, not that either. Okay, fine.
Oh, like
okay.
Material things, like things.
Okay, fine. So, I really like lip gloss. How's that?
That's good. Okay.
Okay. So lip gloss and probably some chocolate. I eat chocolate every day. So
good choices. What's a must read book that we all need to get?
I personally love The Gifts of Imperfection. That book was a game changer for me. The chapter on perfection, I'm pretty sure I just highlighted the entire thing. But I think there's a lot of heavy hitting points that a lot of people, it could resonate with a lot of people. So that's probably right now one of my absolute favorite books still for me.
Sweet. That's been on my list for quite a while. So I'm going to get that. Okay. If you could interview anybody, who would it be?
Oh, anybody. Oh, man. Honestly, I think I would like to interview, like, Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I just think that he was a beautiful soul and died too young and was really creative. And I would just like to pick his brain.
Okay. What is a future dream you're working towards?
Being able to travel and speak.
Heck yeah. Me too. I love it. Maybe we'll speak together someday. That'd be so cool.
Amazing. Yeah.
Currently, what is your favorite meal?
My favorite meal right now? Oh, man. Probably tacos. Been eating a lot of tacos lately.
Yeah. Handheld everything. Hashtag. Yeah. Your closet. Is it a minimalistic closet or is it packed?
Pretty minimalistic. I'm definitely like a jeans and t-shirt. I'm like jeans and t-shirt, and then it's like fancy dresses. So
yes.
Yes.
What is the next country you want to visit?
Gosh, there's so many of them. Man, if I had to pick one, I would say Ireland.
Fun. Let's see. Best movie you've watched in the past month?
In the past month, a movie I've watched? Mm-hmm. I just went to the movies, let's see, on Sunday and saw Superman versus Batman. So...
is it good?
Did you say most favorite movie or just one that I've watched?
Best movie you've watched in the past month.
Oh, The Crazy Eight, I think that's what it's called. It's a weird movie. That was really good. It was odd. But yes, the Batman movie was pretty good.
If you could challenge everyone listening to this to let go of something, what would that be?
Oh, geez, Maddie, you asked some tough questions, narrowing it down to one. Let go of one thing. The idea that there's only one way of being in a body.
That's a good one. And last but not least, what is your favorite way to unwind at the end of a long day?
Oh, well, that's an easy one, without a doubt. Definitely bubble baths, without a doubt.
Oh, you have those often?
Oh, my gosh. Like, let's see, probably 5 days a week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, every time that I work at the hospital after my 12 hours, I have a bubble bath with Epsom salt and like lavender and candles. And it's just totally my time to just really practice that self-care and rejuvenate from a long day or it's always my go-to to just be with myself and relax.
I love that. I was so close to taking a bath 2 days ago, and I take baths like once in a blue moon, but I didn't listen to my intuition. I should have done it because I was like, today sounds like a great bath day. Maybe I'll do it today.
Yeah, I was always a big shower, and just like the last 3 months, I have like really gone into like just bubble baths. I don't know why, but I love it. It feels awesome. Great.
I love it. All right. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. This was so wonderful. And I feel like this conversation was just, it's going to help so many different people. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I loved it.
All right, everybody, you can go head on over to the website and check out all of the show notes for this episode. And you can go to maddiemoon.com/MBM95 to find all of that. And while you're there, if you haven't yet downloaded 10 proven steps for ending any diet obsession, you can do that on the sidebar. And last but not least, Scripture Food and Healing. Check it out by going to scripturefoodandhealing.com. That is my 6-week course. And I would love to see all of y'all there, whoever is interested in healing disordered eating and body image through the power of scripture. And please let me know if you have any questions on that. All right, guys, see you next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.